Now, the economies of Russia and Europe are deeply entwined, thanks, of course, to Russia's vast energy resources. Energy ministers today are meeting in Rome to discuss how to counter Russian dominance of those European energy markets. Is this the moment we finally see a coordinated international response to this problem? Malcolm Grimston is an energy expert and associate fellow at Chatham House. Good morning to you, Malcolm. Is the crisis in Ukraine a tipping point for the energy industry globally? Is this the catalyst to try and to mix things up a bit?
You'd hope so. I mean, in the year 2000, the European Union produced a green paper on energy saying we were getting very uncomfortably dependent on imported gas from Iran and the former Soviet Union. Since 2005, it's been almost an annual event that Russia turns off the gas pipes to Ukraine, and that has knock-on effects for particularly countries like Germany. So I would hope that this is a further thing that will focus the minds on what was already a major problem before this event.
So they're going to sit down and they're going to say what? We need a major new global energy strategy. Do we assume that we don't get anything from Russia? And where are we going to make the shortfall up from? Is it new countries or is it stuff like coal?
I mean, it's not credible to believe that Russia will stop exporting in the long term because...
They need to.
Yes, indeed. That's a major source of income for the Russian economy. Russia exports about four times as much, if I remember right, exports certainly considerably more energy than it actually uses, and its economy depends on that. The problem is that if you become politically dependent there, then when there is a spat, Russia could ruin Europe with sanctions much more quickly than Europe could ruin Russia. So I think we are going to look for new sources of gas. We've seen the shale gas revolution in the States. There may be possibilities in some European countries for that. Liquefied natural gas as opposed to piped gas has already been interest in Europe. But we also have to start looking at other fuels. Nuclear makes an awful lot of sense, but expensive to build. Coal is the other main one.
Well, this interests me because the amount of coal that we actually use in this country to generate electricity is now at 40%. I don't think people are cognizant of that, and it's gone up about 20-something percent in the last year.
Well, it shot up from 28% to 40% of our electricity last year. That's largely because the US has the gas revolution, so is exporting coal it would otherwise have been using. Mm. That's brought down the international coal price, and the UK is by no means unique. And Germany is also building a lot of new coal-fired plant to replace the nuclear plants that it's taking offline, which, of course, is resulted in a great increase in its greenhouse gas emissions. We've also got the problem that Europe is being signally unhelpful in this. The Competition Commission makes it very difficult to build anything but gas turbines for electricity. They're the cheapest to build. You get your money back more quickly. Mm. So in any system where European Competition Commission is saying you mustn't intervene in your power markets, gas is the contributor with that. So I do hope what comes out of this is a recognition that Europe's stance has been enormously unhelpful.
When we see the amount of coal we're using creeping up and people saying, look, it's cheap as chips coal at the moment, we might have to lurch back into its arms, are we slowly, and I think we have already been seeing this, people quietly abandoning renewable and greenhouse gas emission targets?
Yeah, I mean, we are getting a much clearer view of how difficult the intermittency with renewables is. I mean, the main problem with renewables is not the cost of actually building them. It's the fact that at your time of peak demand, which in the UK tends to be tea time on a late January morning, there's obviously no solar because it's dark, and quite often the coldest time is associated with very low wind speeds on those cloudless cold nights. So intermittency of renewables is getting very difficult. The advantage of nuclear coal and gas is that all of those don't depend on local weather conditions. They've all got their challenges, but security of supply trumps environment every time, in my view. Japan has shown this. Japan has simply abandoned its greenhouse gas target. It had a 25% reduction target. Now says it's going to increase its greenhouse gases. And unless we get security of supply and economics right, environment tends to just disappear off the agenda.
Malcolm Grimstone, many thanks. Now, let's take a look at the market.